Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm at the Main Street Pub, and I'm joined by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing here midweek at the pub?
Ready to take a couple extra drinks.
Uh-oh. Things going rough at work still, or?
Oh, it's nonstop over there. Like I said, my bosses are great. Everybody's great. It's just 6 days a week gets old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every week.
You've been on a whirlwind tour there for what seems like forever now, but there's light at the end of the tunnel for you.
Absolutely. And then all the crazy stuff going on in the world don't make it any better.
No, exactly. That's why I didn't mind doing a show tonight to get away from some of that real-life issues that the rest of the country and the world, for that matter, is dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, God forbid, and me and you, it's double the people that they said the other day down there with that whole incident in Orlando, and we just want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families, and we'll be praying for you guys, and hope you guys find strength from somewhere, because it's tough times. You need loved ones to pull you through this.
Yeah, that's for sure. And a horrible thing that happened, but, you know, we'll move on as a country and as a people, as we often do from these things. But it doesn't make it any easier. And the fact that it happened in Orlando kind of, you know, it hits home for me, because even though I'm from Massachusetts, born and bred, you know, Orlando's my second home because of Disney World. So I feel connected to the whole community down there.
Yeah, and even that poor girl, the one that the week before, that singer that got from that fan that shot her down there.
Right, right.
God forbid, she's from Marlton. She's like 20 minutes from my house.
Wow.
I think that's what they said. She's from Marlton, New Jersey. And so sorry to hear about her. I mean, Orlando's taken some bad times in the last couple of weeks, and we feel sorry for everybody down there. Like you said, it's our home away from home. And then you also hear that he was thinking about doing something at Disney World. So doesn't that make you squirm and
get
a little scared?
I was saying that to somebody at work today, and, you know, I know you remember back to 9/11 and all that, but, I mean, that was one of the first places they actually, you know, put the no-fly zone on, and all that stuff was Walt Disney World because of its popularity. It's a, you know, it's a soft target, as they call it. And any of these things that happen, you know, it always is in the back of my mind that, you know, someday is something horrific going to happen there. And I hope I'm wrong. But I mean, I can't say that it doesn't cross my mind when these crazy stories come up on the news.
Yeah. So guys, when you're standing in line and waiting in line and being miserable, things could be worse.
Yeah.
Just cooperate. This is one of those things too, and this is Doug going back to Doug being a meanie. Don't you hate, like, when I show up there, as soon as I get off the boat and I'm walking up towards the check-in, I know I have this thing, it's called a camera bag or a backpack. I have all the zippers opened. Yeah. I have everything ready to show them. Like, gentlemen, ladies, open up your purses, your backpacks. Be prepared. Like, the people that aren't prepared are the first ones that are hemming and hawing and complaining that they are not getting through the line.
Right, right. Yes, we've all been behind those guests that are, let's just call them unprepared. I mean, you're right. I'm walking from the bus, unzippering stuff and opening stuff up. And, you know, and it's for my own benefit, too, because if you have that all wide open, you just sling it up there on the table, and the lady or gentleman will go through your bag, and you'll be through the turnstiles in no time. But
and don't treat them like a bucket of you know what either, him or her. They're doing their job. Like, I hate that too, where people get aggravated and give them give them crap because they're going through their, like, it's like they have a job to do. Do you think they want to be doing this all day long with you? They want to, I mean, you sit there and watch the eye rolls and all that stuff.
Right.
Show them a little respect. Ask them how their day's going. And treat, you know, be nice, because you're going into the happiest place on earth. Don't be miserable. If you don't want to be there, leave.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, knock on wood, and like we say, and I think you brought it up on the show last week, or the week, or, you know, last show or the show before, that, you know, you feel probably the safest as you feel anywhere in the world, you know, even at home or whatever, mm-hmm. at Walt Disney World. And I truly believe that it is probably one of the safer places in the world, even with the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people going through there every day, because, you know, Disney takes its security seriously, and, you know, like I said, yeah. Luckily nothing has happened, and, you know, who knows if something might have happened, but they've stopped it or got wind of it or, you know, otherwise taken care of it. We'll probably never know, but I trust them down there, and you know, I would never alter my traveling or my plans or anything, you know, because of it. I'm going to live my life and, you know, hope for the best.
Yeah, well, Dan, I was there September 11th, and I had never felt safer than I felt there. So,
right.
We wanted to come home to be with our family, because that's how it is. We ended up staying a few more days.
Right.
But it was supposed to be a 10-day trip. We cut it short to 8 to get home.
Yeah.
And Disney was wonderful about it, too. They reimbursed us our last couple of days.
Wow.
For everything, even my father's park tickets.
That's
like, me and Brenda kept our two, because at the time it had the unexpiring, so we had like 4 days left. But my dad and my we kept my mother-in-law's, and we used them. Actually, we had 6 days for another trip.
Right.
But
right.
My dad and my stepmother, they refunded them even their ticket money, which I thought was like above and beyond.
Yeah, because you got to figure they were losing their shirt, you know, with you know, people not being there and going home, like you said. So for them to still do that on top of the money they were losing, you know, shows you what a quality company they are at the end of the day, even when we get critical of them and, you know, complain here and there. But, you know, the bigger picture, though, is, you know, most companies, or a lot of companies, I should say, wouldn't do that.
Well, the thing that they did, too, that I was like, and I even mentioned it to them, and they just let it go. They credited my dad and my stepmother back the price of the first 2 days, not the last 2 days of a 10-day ticket.
Wow, even
so
better.
It was, it worked out really good. They got more back than they should have, really. But I don't think they really were focused that much on, you know what I'm saying? There was
right.
bigger fish to fry at the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was an amazing experience at that time. As bad as the whole thing it was amazing how the country came together, and I mentioned it many times. Everybody was wearing American flags and American hats and pins, and the little store next to the Hall of Presidents was like packed. You couldn't and over at the American Adventure, that little store next to it, everybody couldn't get enough of American memorabilia, if you follow me.
Yeah, I remember that, and it was, you know, it was, I guess, comforting in a way that, you know, everybody kind of banded together. And, you know, I remember neighborhoods were meeting, and, you know, up here, and I'm sure down there too. And, you know, people were getting out of their houses and actually talking to their neighbors, which, you know, people tend not to do that nowadays. And, you know, it was a great thing. It's just too bad. And everybody said it at the time, and it was inevitable. But, you know, you knew the bubble would burst and people would go back to their same old ways, which is pretty much what's happened. And, you know, it's too bad we couldn't hold on to that feeling. And
I had flags in the back of my windows, and, you know, the
whole night.
The pickup trucks and on the bumpers, and, you know. But, you know, God bless good old America, and please look out for all the families of all the tragedy in Orlando. And we're going to move forward, Dan, and have a little fun, because that's what this podcast is about,
okay.
Right?
Yes. Must have fun.
Yes. So let's go climb back into the Disney bubble.
Okay.
How's that sound?
I like it.
We're safe and sound now. Let's have some fun. What we decided to do is that all the stuff, every time you turn around, there's something new coming to Walt Disney World. Something else is closing. Something else is open. New parks, new lands. New lands in the parks is being, you know, made right now and built. And, you know, you have Disney Springs being completely rebuilt. So me and Dennis figured we'd like to have, we mentioned five things of anything that you would like to see brought back to Walt Disney World, like you wish wouldn't have left the parks.
Right.
So we figured we'd have a little fun with that.
Okay.
So I will let you go first, my partner.
Okay. All right. And these are in no particular order. These are just randomly thought of as things that I miss or, like you said, I wish would they'd bring back to the parks. And the first one that I'm looking at on my list here is the mousecraft, I guess you call them, at the resorts. I know in particular Dixieland, Riverside.
There you go. You want Dixieland and brought back, too.
Yeah, I know, and it was not on purpose. But, yeah, the little... you know, two-seater, the little kid boats there that you used to be able to rent from the rental station. Not that I ever rented them. I rented the pontoon boat the time that we did it, but I kind of miss them just buzzing around and being part of the atmosphere at the resorts. And, I'm hoping that they do come back at some point. That I think you made the point at the time that maybe because of the Disney Springs construction, that's why they got rid of them and that they would come back at some point in the future. But I hope you're right and they do come back because I really miss them. Just the, like I said, more so just because I like them there and I like seeing them and watching the kids play around more than, taking part in renting one myself.
Well, it's the fun. It has something going on. It's the thought of family. It's like you're watching another father. It's awesome when you see a father and his young son going up and down the river together, and the smiles on their face while you're sitting there on the bench. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to people watch other people having fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then. Curious, Dennis. I'd love to know. Wouldn't you love to know, like, why decisions are made? Like, was it really because of the, all the construction, or was it because they weren't making enough money, or is it because of liability? I'd just love to know what the rationale is with some of these decisions.
I honestly believe it was the construction with Disney Springs, because they didn't want to, like, the pontoon boats. They weren't rented as much as what the mice were, the mouse boats. They were up and down the river all the time.
Right.
And I think a lot of it had to do with if they went all the way down river into downtown Disney, with everything going on, they could get in more trouble than it was worth. Because if you remember, they rent them too at Disney. They did rent them too at downtown Disney.
Right.
So I think if they took them away at Riverside, I think they wanted to get them out of all the parks altogether.
Yeah.
For right now.
You're probably right. And, plus they had the... empty cars there coming at the boathouse and different routes for them, and maybe they just didn't want all the congestion until that gets kind of, ironed out and figured out and all that stuff. So that remains to be seen. Maybe they'll be back, maybe they won't, but in any event, that made it to my list as something I wish they'd bring back.
Yeah, and I would too, because you used to see them at the marina and marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
There at the marina right by Captain Jack's, which... it ain't on my list, but I really like that restaurant too.
Yeah,
I miss that.
It's a blast from
one of the best crab cake. One of the best crab cakes on property. Yeah, it is a blast from the past. I enjoyed the view. It was beautiful if you got all the way in the back of that restaurant out on the water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're right. It was literally right at water level. I mean, you kind of step down to go to it. I'd forgotten all about that, and it's only been a few short years, or probably 5 or 6 now, or at least it seems so. But, that's long gone.
Yeah, I miss that place. Me and Brenda enjoyed it. Like I said, it was some of the best crab cakes on property, if not the best. But, that little marina there, if you think about it then, because they had to get rid of all them, could you imagine when they're dredging the water, building, putting the pylons in over by... You can't have them little... See, the big pontoon boats you could see.
Right.
But as a construction worker, you can't see a father and a son come buzzing around the corner on one of them little boats.
Right.
So I think it was more of they couldn't be dealing with them than it was they didn't make money off them. Because... they were always being rented at Riverside when I was there.
Oh, yeah. And, like you said, too, down at Disney Springs. I mean, I know they floated in some cranes on barges and stuff. And, it was real congested down there. So, yeah, let's positive thoughts that it's a temporary closure and that they'll be back at some point.
Oh, they were awesome to go exploring in.
Oh.
They were a nice little exploring
boat. Yep, absolutely. What do you got for your first one?
I'm going to go with something that's going on now. It's one of the things that you hate.
But I hate.
They have the program going on right now.
Okay.
And it'll get everybody mad at me for Disney. But picking on Disney again, but I wish they would have just, I wish they'd just bring free dining back to the way it originally was and stop all the aggravation to people that, you know, give me the appetizer and have gratuity included in it. Why did you have to nickel and dime everything, Disney? If you had to raise resort rates or one rate or something like that, I mean, do it. But again, it's another way to make everything confusing. Like when I book a trip for somebody, yeah, you have free dining, but you don't have to pay. You have to pay for the tip. Well, it's a pain in the butt. Am I wrong, Dan?
No, right. Because you know, when somebody says something's free, that to me that means you don't need to pull any money out of your pocket. And they call it free dining, but yet you're right. You got to still put money aside for gratuity, and you know, if you do want an appetizer or whatever, you got to pay out of pocket for it. So it really isn't free. And you know, we talked before the show here that we probably hit on a couple that are the same. I had this on my list as well for the same exact reasons as you did. You know, bring it back. I again, you said I hate it, and I guess I do, or I dislike the current program, but I loved free dining when it first came out, when it was truly free and all-inclusive.
Exactly.
Because when it was all-inclusive, you could literally, you know, that was, you didn't have to worry about food at all except for, you know, lunch or whatever you had to buy. But as far as a sit-down ADR every day and a lunch or a breakfast, depending on what you decided to do, you were good to go. And, you know, was more than enough food that you could skip the third meal if you wanted to very easily. And I think it's, and you say it all the time, some people just mentally like to know that their dinner or their eats are paid for, I guess. And now it is and it isn't. You have it, you pay for it, and you're still going to pay out of pocket. So it's confusing in that way, I think.
Yeah, well, I love the program. I love the idea of it. It gets everybody excited. But at the end of the day, your favorite saying, I'm kidding, Bob's actually.
Yes.
But what it the discount is usually, you'd be better off a lot of times with the discount, the 30% room discount, and just putting a $500, $600, $700 on a gift card and paying for your meals. But I would like it to come back. They should have just made it original and then just raise the room rate another $10 a day or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they're killing the golden goose. You know, it was a phenomenal program. It worked. It brought, you know, thousands of guests into the resorts, filled them up. You know, in its early days,
it did what it was intended to do. And then they had to go in and pull it apart again, dissect
right.
it. What we're not making enough. Come on now, you just bought Marvel and you bought Star Wars, and you're telling me you can't afford to give me an appetizer?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of it. And free dining, it should be simpler. Like, and that's where I get on my high horse and I complain with all the different options. They like, too many options. That's the whole reason behind the whole park hopper deal. It's just too many options. Just charge me a little. You're already killing me for my tickets.
Right.
Just make it an extra $10, and this way I don't have to worry about it.
Right. I mean, you know, I say it all the time, and you know, you've chosen to be a TA, and, you know, you're not complaining about it. But, I mean, to keep up on all that stuff and making sure that you have all the different options that are available, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, you do it all the time, and you still get mixed up sometimes. I can only imagine somebody going once or twice in a lifetime to just sit down and go through the My Magical Experience and Photo Pass and Park Hopper and dining and all those things and options and, oh, man. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, really, and you got to take it seriously because, you know, you say it all the time. You don't want somebody coming back and saying, hey, Doug, you didn't tell me I could have done this or I could have did that or I didn't have to buy this or I didn't, you know, so it's got to be a little frustrating with how complicated Disney's made booking a vacation nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. It used to be magic, you know, magic your way and you're done.
Yep.
Back in the day, you know what I'm
yep.
saying? Or you get the whole package. It was just a package. You bought it. You got your couple coupons for downtown Disney, for Pleasure Island, or, you know what I mean? Everything. There was like two tiers. Either you had the one that didn't have Pleasure Island and the water parks included, or you didn't.
Right.
It was that simple. Now there's It's so a la carte, it's ridiculous.
And I wonder why, and again, you know, if you ask them, they're going to say, well, we do it because that's what our guests want. They want options and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I suppose that's true, but I don't know that, I can't imagine a guest or guest calling up and saying, you know, I want 97 different options with my vacation package. You know, there's got to be a reason they do it. And you know, I suspect it's monetary, but I don't really know why it's that way, and that it would make them more money doing it a la carte as opposed to one big, you know, a couple of tiers that you're either A or B or C or whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
No, it's confusing. And the bottom line is, I just want every family to come home having the best trip they've ever had, because they're not spending a little bit of money. They're spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I don't want any confusion. I want them to feel like if you do it right and you plan it right and you can help them schedule and do what they have to do, they'll come home most of the time feeling like they got their money's worth.
That's true.
And that's the way you want it. You don't want to, and you want to give them every option. And it gets to the point sometimes now when I'm sitting down with them, it's constantly making you feel like you're out for a money grab.
Right, right.
But you can't not tell them about all these different options.
Yeah, because it must almost sound like you're trying to upsell them, you know. Hey, for 50
exactly.
bucks more, you can get this or that or this. And, you know, you know, people that maybe don't know you personally that you may just be booking a vacation and say, oh, yeah, look at this guy. He's on commission. He's trying to, you know, get us to – he's going to nickel and dime us another couple hundred bucks here, you know.
Like you with the photo pass. You had to twist my arm to let you buy it. I told you all
right,
about it, and I was
right.
feeling bad about it,
yep,
remember?
I do. I do.
Yeah. I ain't worried about the couple of hours for what. I mean, out of the whole photo pass I make after the agency takes their cut, I might make an extra $3-4
right.
on that. Like, it ain't, you right. know, it ain't no big deal. I want you to have it because I think it's worth it, especially like with you, with your family being in five different parks.
Right. It worked out wonderfully for us.
You know, with the water parks and, you know, you're, well, five different places is what my
right.
point was.
Right.
You know, three family members at this park, two over here this way. You seen pictures when you got home. You didn't even know they talked.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. We were able to review them at night and see what they did at the other park when we were, you know, in a totally different park somewhere else taking pictures.
So what's your next one, my good buddy?
Let's see. Next, I'm going to go to I would like them to bring back, and this one's been teetering for a couple of years here, but I wish they'd bring back Figment and Dreamfinder. Epcot's original mascot from, you know, back in the early 80s when Epcot opened. We all know Figment, the purple dragon that you see in Imagination Pavilion there, which is a shell of its former self. But the original Figment was a, you know, a puppet-like creature, the Dreamfinder.
He was cool.
Yeah, actually, you know, would come around the park, and he was the Epcot mascot. And he's on a whole bunch of merchandise. He's real popular. I mean, any of these Vinylmation or pin events, he's always riddled all over the merchandise. And if you go in Mouse Gear, there's sections that you can find all kinds of Figment stuff. But they just haven't pulled the trigger on actually bringing the character back to the theme park itself. And I'm hoping they do at some point.
Well, I'm 100% behind you on that.
Yeah, I wonder why they haven't, though. I mean, it just seems like there's enough of you know, a support, I guess, behind it where it would, you know, be popular and introduce a whole new generation of Disney fans to Figment.
I don't know. It seems like the only thing they care about in that whole area is Soarin'.
Yeah, maybe you're right. They just, yeah.
I mean, they pick apart everything else. I mean, again, it isn't part of one of mine, but bring back the skippers for the land. I mean, it's like every little thing they've taken the best part away from.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny you say the skippers. I figured that would be on your list. You snuck one in there.
Yeah, it's not. I'm doing a Lou Mangiello. Yeah. I sneak them in as I go.
What do you got for your next one?
My next one is that I would love for them to bring back Tapestry and Nations to Epcot.
Oh, you and me both.
Even with my raspy voice, I still sound good, don't I?
Yeah. Anybody that sings that is good. I don't care. That that music, and you know, we've talked about this time and time again, but that's when we first started going to Disney. And if I hear that music, it just brings me right back to the you know, the late 90s, and you know,
yeah, millennium.
Oh, it was just awesome. Yeah, the late 90s going into the millennium, that parade that they showed at Epcot, Tapestry of Nations, was just awesome. And you know, and we said this before, it didn't even include, it wasn't a Mickey Mouse parade. It was more of an adult theatrical type parade with these big puppets and big drums that would, you know, spin around. And I don't know, it was just an awesome parade that, actually it was a three-part parade. There were three separate parades around the World Showcase, you know, exactly the same and in sync with the music, so that, you know, obviously you didn't have to wait for the thing to go all the way around the showcase. But yeah, I saw that many, many a time, and I was so sad when it left, and I was hoping on Epcot 30 that it would have come back, which it did not. So who knows, maybe at some point in the future they'll break it out of mothballs.
Yeah, I think that went away just because there's not enough space. It was never planned to have a parade in World Showcase, and I think it kind of ruined the flow of traffic around there, and I think that was the biggest reason. But with the way the world, with everything going on in the world right now, with that parade of togetherness, don't you think it would be good for Epcot to do something right now for to bring all the world together?
Yeah, kind of like Illuminations at night, but during the day, that would be awesome. And you know, the same feeling that you know, Illumination gives you, you know, love of your brother and, you know, strangers that you don't know, but you're in the same place and listening to the same, you know, maybe a different culturally, you know, you just brings mankind together, I guess, is.
Exactly, like with that Tapestry of Nations was going on, and you'd hear all the little kids talk and stuff like that, it kind of made you feel good. It's like, we're all one.
Yep.
Let's just stop, you know, and I think that there needs to be more of an emphasis at this time around World Showcase, I think, to bring everybody together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even part of the show when all the lasers go together and they point up into the sky and they all connect.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's symbolic of, you know, all those countries coming together, and whether we agree or disagree politically or, you know, all that other junk, for that moment and, you know, that little 10 minutes that the show's going on, we're all one, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Tapestry of Nations. That's what, every time I'd see it to see the Stiltwalkers, I'd want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could do that, hon. I could do that.
You're really qualified to do that, man.
I really am. I showed you proof on Twitter,
yes,
didn't I?
Yes, I saw it. I saw the picture of you doing that stuff. But that would be awesome. But do you think, though, they'll ever bring it back, if only just for a deal, or you think it's just gone and it's fire code and all that stuff? It's just can't come back for those reasons.
Yeah, I pray it does, because I love the music. I love the whole thing about it. But I truly believe, don't you think that's the main reason?
Yeah.
Because everybody loved that parade. I never heard, my mother-in-law, like, would just stand there in awe, like, at it. She just loved it so much. And it was something that me and her had in common. We'd sit down together and watch it. You know, it was like, I just loved everything about it. But I truly believe that they were worried. I think it, first of all, there wasn't enough room there. But I also think the bottom line, because people aren't moving and people aren't buying if they can't get by to the shops.
Right. And with food and wine being so popular and all this,
exactly.
You know, there's congestion. And yeah, that's a good point. If people aren't able to get to the kiosks, it's costing Disney money, you know. So.
Yeah, because remember how they had to put them ropes up all the way around there? What a pain in the butt that was?
Yep.
They tried to make pathways, but you couldn't walk through
them.
No. When that parade started, you stopped right where you were. Like, me and Brenda would actually, I would find a place. That's the one parade I would actually find an area in, so I could move around at one of the pavilions.
Right.
Maybe go in and grab a drink and come back and forth.
Right.
You know, because I've seen it many, many times.
Right. You can still hear the music when you're in line or even in the store buying something. I know exactly.
Yeah, watch the drums go by and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that was one of mine. Dan, what's your next one?
Next, I am going to, what am I going to go? I'm going to go with a, I'm going to ask them to bring back the Build a Brick program. That was the program I call it build a brick, but out in front of the Magic Kingdom,
the pavers,
you have your pavers or brick. I think they call them bricks, but yeah, they're the pavers where you'd have your family name and the year that you went on vacation in. And at the time, or at least as I understood it or I recall, they were going to make a walkway all the way around the you know, the body of water there, going over to the Contemporary, then Polynesian, and Ticket and Transportation. But it never happened. They never continued the walk. And they disbanded the program. And I know I told the story on the podcast. I went down there. I had, and this was years ago, I had saved up $100 aside from our vacation money because I was determined I was going to get a brick. I don't, you know, I just wanted to have a brick with my name on it in Walt Disney World, and I didn't care where it was or, you know, how stupid it might have sounded to pay, you know, a multi-billion-dollar company $100 to, you know, to help them build a sidewalk. They certainly don't need my help, but I wanted to have that keepsake there and be able to visit it and clean it every time I went, and I literally tried to, I went to guest service because a couple of cast members said, well, I don't think they're doing it, but maybe they do, go see that. And I went through the whole thing, and literally they would not take my money. They said they had disbanded the program, and you know, if it ever comes back, they took my name or email or something, I don't remember, they'd get in touch with me, but no luck. They haven't called. I'm still waiting.
Well, like I told you, I think it's the maintenance on them. I really do. I think it's about if they get broken, they get people throwing gum on them and stuff like that.
Right.
And I wish I had one. I would like to do it myself, so I'm with you on that. But I think it's more about somebody throwing gum on it, somebody ruining it, and then they have to be, because the people complaining because they put a lot of new ones back in that don't have the engravings on them, if you notice.
Yeah, I did see that. That they, you know, some of them are a different color even, you know.
Yeah.
But I think they had different tiers. Like, I think at one time you could spend $500 and get, like, a granite one that was different from the, like, the red pavers or something like that. But I don't know. I just thought it was a way to, you know, and this was obviously before we bought in the DVC. I don't know. It was a way for me that I felt I'd be more connected with my favorite place.
Nah, I agree with you, Dan. I would have liked to have had one myself.
Yeah, but they got rid of it. But, yeah, there again, that's weird, you know. $100 a pop and they won't take your money. Oh, and I think you made the point last time this was brought up too, that, you know, inevitably they had to have somebody keep track of where all these things were and a database, and, you know, that costs money too, I suppose. So I'm sure it, you know, that weighed in on its demise.
They just have too many other things to deal with. I don't think they want to deal with that anymore.
Right, right. So what do you got next?
And I bet this one's on your list.
Okay.
The Disney Institute.
Yes, it is on the list. I think it has something to do with our age now, but go ahead.
Yeah, but it was because I was so young, I never got to do it, and I always wanted to do it, and especially with me and Brenda with the culinary arts,
yep,
and all that, us loving to cook, and I would have loved to have been a part of this because you stayed there, and then there's a little part where if you only wanted to do it for a day, it was $49.
Wow.
What can you do for a day on property now for $49?
Not too much, not too much. But
but the programs were culinary arts, design arts, entertainment arts, gardening and the great outdoors, lifestyles, performing arts, sports and fitness, story arts, and youth programs. And then they had entertainment and everything else. So you could spend like a whole week here going from different, learning different things the entire week. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. They had wine tasting, and I think that goes with the culinary stuff. But, yeah, and you know, again, we mentioned this before, but this used to take place or be at where Saratoga Springs now sits. It used to be the Disney Institute, and, you know, the golf course was there, and I think the spa might have been there predating Saratoga Springs. It was part of the Institute. But I remember looking at this program when I had first started going to Disney thinking, why would I want to do this stuff? It almost sounds like it's school, you know? And, of course, I had not visited Disney World very many times, and I, you know, was still geeking out over the parks and all there is to do there. But, you know, fast forward 20 years now and thinking back on it, I really agree with you, and I wish they had something like that, because, like, I know I sound like a broken record, but I keep saying it's not about the attractions for me anymore. I love them, I do them, I'll do them again, but if I went there for a week and just did something like the Disney Institute and went out for a couple of nice dinners during the week, you know, Chico or, you know, what have you, I'd be just as happy, if not happier, than, you know, trouncing around the theme parks, you know, doing all the you know, attractions. I know I'd have just as good a time. So I really wish they'd bring something like this back also.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Like, listen to this. Entertainment Arts. Discover the creative process behind the scenes of animation, radio and audio, television and video, photography and showbiz. Participants get to draw a Disney character or create its voice. Act as a DJ in a production that will air on Disney Institute radio station, or practice photographing a family member.
Wow.
And then lifestyles. These sessions focus on family life and self-discovery. The range of experiences include tracing your family tree, creating a computer storybook, ballroom dancing, and meditation. I mean, and then they go, the rates were, bungalow started $4.99 for 3 nights. Where can you stay for 3 nights and get all this for $4.99 now
right.
on the property?
Yeah, and you got to think back to how it was back when this was going. I mean, when you were reading that stuff, it kind of
sounds
a little bit like Food and Wine, and a little bit like you know, some of the other things they now offer. I think what they did is they kind of took the ideas, and some of them are out there in the parks or are on property somewhere, but they're just not called the Disney Institute now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're 100% right. If we lost you, you went dead air for like 30 seconds.
Oh,
we apologize, but you finished the sentence, so it all sounds good. But yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, it did go to Food and Wine, and they did take parts of this institute throughout the parks.
Right.
And I know a lot of it, I think a lot of it too had to do with today's technology, where the institute, it almost kind of like interventions can't keep up.
Right, right.
On certain things.
If it was,
but
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No.
But it would be nice to be on property, and like now how popular Dancing with the Stars is and all that stuff. It would be nice to have a ballroom class on Disney property with the wife and different food and wine and drinking. And like now they have the culinary over at the Contemporary that we talked about.
Yep. Yep, they get that, or the different packages you can do during Food and Wine. And, yeah, I totally think that, you know, they just kind of rebranded it. And, you know, maybe it had something to do with they knew they were going to do this DVC thing that, again, was in its infancy back then, or even wasn't even thought of. I don't know if Old Key West had been built yet back when this was running. I think it probably was, but it was in the early days. But, like I said, I truly believe they took some of these tracks, if you will, that you could take and kind of, you know, put them out there. You know, I think there was a golf and tennis one. There was like a sports one.
There was all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I don't play tennis per se, but I would play tennis. I have played it, but I don't do it as a, you know, an exercise or a sport. But, you know, it'd be cool to take a couple lessons down there and play. And, you know, if you... You know, you're with your wife or maybe another couple. You play a mixed couple, you know, a little tennis game or something. That would be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I would. I play tennis and golf, so I'd have been in for golf lessons in the whole
nine yards. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a whole different way to experience Walt Disney World, that's for sure, with, you know, partaking in some of the things that they offered back then.
No, I'm in. Let's bring it back.
All right. I second that.
What's your next one?
Let's see. This is kind of a current one. I mean, I'm not going to go for the real low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to go for one a little further down. But for patriotic reasons, I'm going to wish that they would bring back the drum and fife corps from the American Pavilion. I think that I really think that's a shame that they got rid of that. And I know it was in keeping with...
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah. I've watched that many a times. I've got even a couple of videos of it that I've taken, and I don't know. It's just the drum, and the way they came out so regal, and you know, if you would happen to meandering by the American Pavilion, you would stop, and you know, not that you'd stay there for a half hour and watch it, but certainly you would. I would. I just really felt patriotic, and. I think it's missed in the World Showcase, and I wish they'd bring it back.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think it's, I don't think there's enough of that throughout the parks. I mean, I don't think, then taking that away, what entertainment outsides does the American Adventure really have now?
I nothing that I can. I mean, unless I'm.
I mean, we're the only one that don't have an outside entertainment anymore.
Right, which is kind of crazy that it's our park in our country. I mean, you're right. They're starting to add back some, you know, acts. We talked about the new act over in the Canadian Pavilion, and you know, I think in Great Britain or England there, they. There was a new band or whatever, but you know, and again, I purposely didn't go off kilter because that would have been too easy. But
yes.
You know, I think just in general, the fact that they took, you know, the most patriotic thing away from the American Pavilion and replaced it with nothing as far. I thought they did replace it with something. Maybe we're missing something. But I'll put it this way. I didn't see anything down there last time I was there, but I could have just missed it. But, you know, it's a shame.
I think it was – I agree with you, and I think it's good for the kids to see. I mean, it would be nice. I remember walking with my godson Jimmy through there, and they were playing, and it kind of it's old school. They need more of that old school stuff to make these millennium kids learn how to be proud to be an American.
Put the cell phone down for a minute and, you know, we'll watch some, you know, it's a representation of, you know, the Patriots and, you know, how our country was founded. And you know, I think you made the point that it's kind of a pre-show for what you're going to experience when you go in and see the show, right?
Yeah, between that and the Voices of Liberty, it's what sets the stage. It's the appetizer for the main event.
Right, because
And I think it's a shame that they did away with it because more kids need to see that stuff.
Right, and the way they kind of end the show, they would kind of gather back up and then march into the building, and you could kind of follow them in and get in the queue, or maybe like you said, get ready to see the Voices of Liberty. It kind of all meshed together, even though it's not, I don't think, technically meant to be like that. I think that it did draw people into the pavilion just because, you know, it kind of got them in the frame of mind of thinking, you know, patriotic things and thinking, hey, you know, this is going to be good. Let's go in and see this. So I don't know. It just kind of bummed me out. Of all the things that have gone around World Showcase that happened when they got rid of that four or five acts all at the same time, and in all seriousness, as much as I like Off Kilter, this one I think really hurt me emotionally the most.
No, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you on that one. I definitely want to. It's to the point where I might even say something the next time I'm there. I know it don't mean nothing, but
hey,
it's still worth saying something.
Yeah, fill out one of those guest satisfaction forms, and, you know, hey, it may or may not help, but at least you'll feel good that you made the case for something you really enjoyed.
Absolutely.
What do you got?
My next one, I'm going to stay on the same thing, the animation. The whole animation thing that they put the launch bay in.
Yeah.
I want them to bring back the whole animation studio over there. The Art of Animation, don't you?
Yeah, because, again, that is something that, is it thrilling? No. Is it something that, you know, you're going to wait in line for 3 hours to do? No. But I think it was one of the last things that was a tactile thing that you could actually do that wasn't really, not wasn't, it wasn't on a computer or computer generated. It was something that you could do and you know, have fun with your family or your wife or your kids or whatever it might be. I mean, I know I can't draw two lines together, and mine always come out a little warped and funny, and we just have fun, just, you know, them laughing at me or me laughing at them because, you know, we're not the artistic ones. But yeah, I miss that. I told you, we've done that many, many times over the years, and I still have all the drawings folded up somewhere in my Disney stuff here, and every once in a while I'll run across them, and it brings back such great memories of trips from the past.
Now, the magic of Disney animation is, I just loved it. I'm so thankful we did it on our last trip, and, you know, we all drew poo, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, like I said, it was one of the best. It was, just watching my wife draw was, like, awesome to me. Like, she was so into it. And it was actually, you could see her relaxing and just being in the moment. My wife's not always in the moment. She's a worrywart.
Right.
And it was nice to see her just, I had so much fun just watching her draw. And it's one of those things where it was a free souvenir, which is rare for property.
Right.
And I don't understand, and I'll mention another one real quick while I'm on this, because I'm going to mention the buildings.
Yeah.
Do you Superstar Television, do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's another one I wish they'd have brought back or kept, with Gilligan's Island, I Love Lucy, Home Improvement. That was a laugh a minute, that show. I absolutely loved it. But what I don't understand is why they had to put the launch bay at the Magic of Disney Animation when American Idol building and the Sound Dangerous building have been empty forever, and there's still nothing being done with them.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say to that, and it makes no sense to me either, is maybe it'll make sense when it's all done, and we'll go, oh, I get it. That's really, you know, I'm hoping that's what it is, because it does seem like it just, you know, they could have salvaged the animation studio there, and you know, I don't know. I guess I'm going to take a wait and see on this one and see what, you know, ends up going in all those buildings you just mentioned.
But wouldn't it make more sense for the launch bay to be over by Star Tours?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just blew me away. Like, I didn't get any of that, and I miss it. And I love the art of Disney Animation. I don't get why, and we brought this on the show, and I'll bring it up again. How cool would, I mean, I would love to see the animators back in the building.
Oh, yeah.
How awesome was it when you seen all their desks with all their little knickknacks and drawing and things going on. It was so vibrant in there.
Right.
And now the last 10 years, it was like, it's like a vacant building. And couldn't they have like done some of the, I mean, I think the tax rates are better in Florida. Like, I don't understand why they didn't do like some of the digital like put Pixar in there and let them do computer animation and show the kids how to do that now.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I vividly, vividly remember when, Stitch came out, Lilo and Stitch. I think it was the first movie, maybe it was the sequel, I don't remember, but they were literally drawing cells for that movie, and you could look down in their office space and you see the animators and how they were, you know, coloring the cells or drawing or whatever process they were doing at the time, and it was cool to know that you were looking at a film that was ultimately going to make it into an animated movie, and it was a real animation studio. And if you think back to all the old movies with Walt and the seven old men, nine old men rather, and all the original animators that made all those great cartoons and Snow White and Cinderella, it kind of harkened back to that, and it made sense because it was in Disney's Hollywood studios. I mean, what better way to represent, you know, movie making and, you know, than having, animators there actually doing it. So, yeah, really, really missed. And they could easily bring it back at any time, I suppose. But don't know if with Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land, if, that's in the cards. I don't know.
Well, I hope to goodness that eventually they bring something back, and like Pixar, when they do the whole Toy Story Land. And I hope they do something like maybe they show you how to animate Woody, Buzz, and how they would do it on a computer, and show like the old school way of drawing, maybe put it on, like make a new building that has the new way to do it and the old way to do
it.
And show the difference. I think that would be really interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah.
For us old farts.
Well, I guess we'll know if they don't change the name. I think we have a better chance for it to come back. But if they change the name and go in a different direction and make it not really, based on movies. Although, with the anchor, the great movie ride being there, I think it's probably likely going to stay the same. But I don't know. We'll have to see. And I don't know. I know you mentioned the computers, and I guess that would cover it. I mean, maybe it's just not, exciting enough for, like you keep saying, the millenniums now. Maybe it's just, that's boring, and, it's not a big draw for them, and they're not really worried about us old farts that are, our trips are...
But they're always... Well, what you got to do is you make the screen look like a phone or a tablet.
Yeah, yeah, that'll draw them in.
And then, but it would be good. How awesome would it be to go in with the young and the... Like you and your grandson, Dan.
Right.
Or your granddaughter. And you go in and you could show them the animation side, and this is how it all started with Walt.
Yep.
And you start off by doing that drawing. And then it goes each year to different decades of how they created all the animation. And then you end up with how they do the computer generated with Pixar. I think that would be a really good show to do.
Yeah, that would be. And Well, remains to be
steal
seen.
My idea, Disney. You better hook me up. What do you got next, buddy?
All right, this one's going to be kind of I don't know, maybe everybody may not even be aware of this, but I wish they'd bring back Vinylmation trading boxes. As you know, I used to collect those a few years ago. I buy a few now and again, but I'm not really an active collector. But they used to have, and you might have seen them at the resorts, they used to have these black boxes with numbers on them. And if you had Disney Vinylmation, you could bring them with you all over property, and you could make blind trades out of there, so that, you know, it was 1 through 12, let's just say, and you would say, oh, I want what's behind, you know, slot number 7, and they would have to give you the Vinylmation. There was a Vinylmation in each of the slots, and you could trade for that Vinylmation. You could make 2 trades per cast member per store or something like that. And it was a fun way to, you know, if you had duplicates that you might have picked up, or, you know, ones you wanted to get rid of, or you were trying to collect other ones that you heard might have been out in the parks, you could do that without spending more money on new ones. You could do it via trade. And as Disney is apt to do, they, you know, eventually got rid of that. And why, I don't know, you know, probably because it wasn't a moneymaker, right? It was just a even trade.
It was something to cost him money.
Yeah, because the cast member was taking his or her time, you know, doing that and not selling products. So that's probably why. But I don't know. It was a cool little thing, and I used to enjoy it, and so did a lot of other people. But like I said, they got rid of it, and I wish they'd bring it back.
I agree with you. I never collected Vinyl Nation, but I get it. It's fun. It was fun for you. It was something special to you.
Something different.
Yeah, my next one is, I would like to, and I never got to see this, but my wife, her and mom always talk about it. Wings of Man, if you had wings.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah.
And it would be old school. I mean, I seen the videos and all, but I'd like to enjoy it because her and her mom, it's one of those songs, like, besides, it's a great big beautiful tomorrow in the Carousel of Progress.
Right.
If you had wings, those two would sing the whole song together, which... I think it's pretty cool, and that's an old-school ride. That and Horizons are the two I'd like to have seen of the old-school ones.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Magical Mouse Radio plays it all the time, or at least they used to when they went to, the attractions that have closed. He has that segment. And, I don't believe I ever saw that either, but I know the song well, and it's a catchy song, and I still enjoy it to this day.
No, I would have liked to have seen both of them, that and Horizons, and... And I know there's another one, I don't know if you ever mentioned, is Brenda always talks about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I would like to have seen that, too.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've seen videos of it, and I've seen different things, but I never personally experienced that.
Did you ever do Horizons?
Nah, I don't think I did.
Me and you were both down there in 97, but it was closed when we were there.
Yeah. I mean, was
that... I know it was closed when I was there, and it made me mad.
That was in there, or is that a different pavilion?
No, that's the other pavilion. That's on the other side. It's over where the building that's been closed forever.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. It was over that side, but I wish I would have gone in. It was closed when we were there.
Yeah. So we missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was open, but it was closed. Because I remember that year, that was closed, and Test Track was there. But it didn't open till May, and we were there in April. And we kept trying. We heard people talking about soft opening, and we had no idea what it was. And then we found out what it was after the fact. We could have gone on
it.
But we didn't know no better because it was our first trip.
Yeah, and you had a million other things that you were focusing on and had to see. So you didn't miss it either because there was plenty of other stuff to explore.
No, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, because the Horizon building, Dennis, was actually – the building where Mission Space is now.
Okay, got ya.
Yeah, that's what they took down to put Mission Space up.
So, what a mistake that was.
Exactly. I think Horizons this old today would be better than Mission Space is now.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I know it would be for me.
Oh, yeah, it would be for me too.
Do you got anything else?
No, I'm fresh out. I mean, I have some more current ones. I mean, resort-specific merchandise, we just covered that on our last show.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, obviously that goes without saying. I'd be in favor of that.
Oh, there's a ton of things that we, you know, little odds and ends that you think of all the time. Like, I would like to have the narration turn back on Spaceship Earth, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, he go, I wish you could pick what you heard inside your car of all of them, because I would even like to go all the way back and hear Walter Cronkite do it live.
Jeremy Irons or yes. Whoever your favorite is.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Irons was my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Walter Cronkite's a voice that, you know, as a kid growing up, I mean, I used to hear him all the time, so I kind of favored him. But yeah, Jeremy Irons is pretty good too.
Yeah, because that's all I remember. I don't think I heard the Walter Cronkite one, unless it was that on in '97.
I don't think so. No. It may be, but I'm gonna say no.
I think it was Irons then.
Yeah. I see the problem, and you probably have this problem even more than I do. I watch so many YouTube videos and stuff now. You think you might have heard something live, but you didn't. But your mind, you can't distinguish the two. I don't know if you have that problem.
Yeah, and then without saying, I would like to get Johnny Depp out of Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Give him my Pirates back to normal, especially now with all the junk the knuckleheads doing.
Yep.
Well, presumably doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
No. Ain't that what they call it?
What do they call
presumably,
it?
Or I don't know how you put it to cover your butt.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. There it is. I couldn't think of the word. But allegedly what he's been doing.
Right.
But no, I'd like to see him taken out of that pot of gold at the end.
Well, maybe it'll happen. You never know.
No, I hear you. But no, this was a lot of fun. Then there's a lot of things we'd like to bring back. I'd like to bring the burgers back in the fixing bar to Pecos Bills.
Oh, you would have. They'd build a statue for you over there. There's many people that are missing that fixings bar.
I mean, you know, I'd like to bring the Backlot Express back, the restaurant back
there. Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I know there's things being made back there, so I can let that go.
Right, right.
But you know, we could go on and on for days. But I thought this was a lot of fun, and you guys think about what you guys will bring back.
Yeah, shoot us a tweet or a post on Facebook or something if something you would like to see them bring back or into the parks. I would love to hear your answers as well.
And I'm sorry, I'd like to bring back my normal voice, but it's not coming anytime soon. So I apologize if I'm raspy and short of words tonight, because it's a struggle to talk.
Oh boy, and that's tough for you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the mouth of the Northeast.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
No, I'm not. Stop.
Yeah, great show tonight. Enjoyed talking a little Disney, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Yeah, we'll have to get John's five on a Sunday show.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure.
See if there's anything he wish they'd bring back.
Yeah.
Besides some kind of beer.
Well, and it'll be interesting, too, where he's a local. He might have a slightly different perspective than us, so it will be interesting to hear what John's answers out of this.
Yeah, I bet he has something good besides an alcoholic beverage.
Right. I'm sure.
He probably already wants the margarita bar back at Mexico.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I'm surprised you didn't say Maelstrom.
Yeah, I
that was the low-hanging fruit I thought you were going to take.
Yeah, I mean, I purposely stayed away from ones that, you know, most of our listeners that have listened for any length of time already know our opinions.
That's why I didn't say to skippers on the land,
right.
Get into that, because I mouth off about that enough.
Yeah, all that goes without saying. They know our positions on those issues.
No, and I wish they would do so. I wish they'd bring back at this point, too, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, because that was the only thing good in that pavilion ever.
Yeah, that was as old as it was, and as many times as I saw.
I still had fun.
Yeah, when the dog, that was a great, that was great technology for its time, and even after its time.
No, at least I enjoyed doing that.
Yep.
Now it's like nothing's even there for me.
Oh, I hear you.
No, but I will go in and see the movies, which will be cool.
Yeah, just you know, see the coming attractions, as they say.
So we continued the show again.
Yeah.
We're gonna let you guys go. Please go over to iTunes. We got another review. We really, really appreciate it. But if you guys could go over there, leave us some more. We need them to move up the search list. Lets us know that you guys really do like us, maybe just a little bit.
Right.
And you can find us on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor, me at Grumpy6767. And if you want to go over and see John and Beer Solo, go check him out. And you can find us over at Facebook at WDW Main Street. We hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Good night. We'll be right back.
the stillness of the night, there comes a time to understand, to reach out and touch tomorrow, take the future in our hand. We can see
off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.